All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy again to us, Lord. I ask that you'd fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, and help us be faithful to you. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 9. Begin in verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or reasoning or knowledge or wisdom in Hades, where you are going. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor wealth to men of understanding, nor favor to men of knowledge. For time and chance will happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. I saw this wisdom under the sun, and it is great to me. There was a little city with a few men in it. And a great king came against it and surrounded it and built great barricades around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and by his wisdom he rescued the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise are heard in quietness, more than the shouting of those who rule in foolishness. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much goodness. This, whenever it began there, tells that whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Just want to start with that and just encourage us that whatever comes our way, you know, we don't have any problems doing what we like to do with all our might. You know, we have projects that we want to do, and when we get to them, boy, we really go after them. But that's not what it says here. It says whatever your hand finds to do. That's whatever's put upon us, do with all your might. I told the story many times that I don't know when I was probably a sophomore or junior in high school, and I played basketball, and I just hated the practice or the exercise, the preparing before that. And up until the time I was a junior, I would just, when we had to run, I would just come in last. I just didn't care. I just hated doing it. And just whatever it was, I just dogged along and just barely did what I had to do. Just enough to get by. Just enough to finish. Whatever I could get away with. Well, I don't know really what happened, but one day I just decided that I wanted to really it didn't take any more energy to dog around and be last than it did to be first. And so just something changed. I just made up my mind that I was just going to put whatever I had into it. And so when it came to the exercises, I just did them. And just tried to be the first. And then I found out that just watching everybody else struggle along and try to finish how tired they looked. I was just standing there watching them finish instead of being the one dragging along and coming in being last. So this principle that just applying myself to whatever comes in my way just really was a transforming time in my life. And it didn't matter. It wasn't that I didn't apply myself in the things that I wanted to do, but it was those things that I didn't want to do that made the difference in my life. I loved playing in the game, and I'd give my all into the game. But what I didn't realize is that if I hadn't done my all in the exercises or in the practice, then my all wasn't near enough in the game. But whenever I learned to apply myself in the practice, then what I gave in the game amounted to so much more. And we forget that. We think that we can really give our all in just the little place that I want to give my all. But if we're not giving our all in whatsoever our hand finds us to do, we're not giving our all even in the things that we want to do. Just a blessing and the wonderful principle that we can learn. And I think that's what the end of it talks about, wisdom. That wisdom doesn't just come to us because we sat around and do nothing. It comes to us that when we begin to learn to apply ourselves in whatsoever our hand finds to do, then it builds the steps, it builds the strength, it builds in us the ability to gain that wisdom. If we're just slothful in the things that we find ourselves doing, to do them, if we're slothful at it, that's the way your wisdom's going to come too. But you learn these things and you apply yourself in the things that you don't want to do and you don't like to do, that you're pressed to do. I mean, Jesus said that if the Roman soldier, if he tells you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. I think that's where this principle is put your best into what you're giving. You know, we can just be forced to go 1 mile and just drag our feet and just hate it and grumble and complain and why we would have to do something or how much out of the way it is for us to do this. But if we just put our all in it and go an extra mile, that's when that brings what we need in our lives. And it begins to help us to apply wisdom to it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or reasoning or knowledge or wisdom in Hades. None of these things that we're talking about here, after we die, they're not going to do us any good. And it's talking about here in Hades. This is the Old Testament. This is where men went. Everyone went to Hades when they died. Everyone went to the same place. So what good is all that wisdom and all the things that we think that we're really gaining in Hades or after death? Where are you going? And then he said, I returned and I saw under the sun. This is a wisdom that he saw, that he learned just from observing people. The race is not to the swift. You know, that doesn't make sense. We think, well, the race is the one that's the fastest always wins the race. But that's not always the case. That's not the way it works in eternity. I mean, there's people that are fast. They can really get things done and it appears like they win all the races. But in eternity, that's not the way it sets up. That's not the way it is. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. You know, we put a lot of emphasis in being fast and strong. But that's not where the race is. This is what the wise men observed. You know, the world sees a different thing. They see the winner. They see the guy that wins the race. They see the strong guy. And it says, nor favor to men of knowledge. For time and chance will happen to them all. He's talking about a bigger race here. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. The race is not to the swift. Nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor wealth to men of understanding, nor favor to men of knowledge, for time and chance will happen to them all. One of the things that in Luke, it talks about the man that had set out to build a tower, but he didn't have enough to finish it. And they began to mock him. And then it talks about the man that began a house, and he didn't have enough to finish it. You know, it's pretty easy for us to jump out and get a big start on something, really do something well. But if we don't have what it takes to finish it, then we've wasted our time. We've all heard the story about the tortoise and the hare. The hare ran off and just quickly blew away the tortoise. And then he got so far ahead that he just decided, well, I can rest now. And he fell asleep, and the tortoise just walked along and wound up winning the race because he just endured to the end. And that's a lot of times what happens to us. We jump out and we really began to do something, but oftentimes we get tired, we get bored, we get pressed with all kinds of other projects, and then wind up not finishing. And we just go on to the next one. And we wind up having all kinds of things just unfinished and not taken care of. These are principles. You know, that we can build our lives on. Jesus said, he that endures to the end will be saved. You know, a lot of us can jump out swift in the race, strong in the race. But he that endures to the end. And I think that that's a principle. You know, we live in a time where we're so busy and we're so caught up and we've got so many projects and so many pressing things that we'll get them all started, but we never can quite get them all finished. We begin to leave things undone. We begin to leave things not quite finished. We're setting a principle in our lives. That's a pattern that we've allowed to get established in our lives. And as we go further and further along, these things begin to bog us down. And we never get finished. We just get deeper and deeper and heavier upon us. But we feel the pressure of just having to do more and do more and do more. So we start another project and we start another project. And we never get finished. The principle here is, it's not to the swift that wins the race. It's not the strong. It's he that perseveres to finish. You know, it's easy for us once to start a project. Oh, we can plan and do all kinds of things to get us started. But it's hard for us to stay with it because it gets boring. Well, whatever our hand finds, that's where we owe the obligation. Not to the new project. We owe the obligation to the old one. To finish it up. Our duty and our responsibility to the Lord is to be faithful. You know, there's a lot of people start out real strong in the race in the beginning. And after a while they get old. Kind of gets bored. It's just not as exciting as it used to be. And that time comes upon our lives when we just have to endure to the end. You know, we start something and it's all fresh and new and we can just start like gangbusters. That's not what's important. And this race that we're running. What's important is being faithful all the way through to the end. And we can learn that by being faithful where we're at right now. And we can look at the end and get all excited or get scared and just think, I'll never make it. Or we can just say, if I'm faithful today with what I'm supposed to do, if I can see the project that I've started today and I can see it through to the finish, then I can go on. Problem is, we just get in a whirlwind of just having to start another one. People are waiting on us. People are pressing us. And so we jump out and start another one. If we learn to just go back, just like we often do, and just have to go back and fix things and just finish what we started, it's amazing how much pressure that takes off of us, how much pressure we were carrying around unneeded. And it can all be taken care of. But it's just like everything else that we do. Whenever we've done something, we've messed up, we've got caught up with something, just going back and fixing the foundation to where we were at. It's amazing how much it helps us. It relieves the pressure that's on us, that we feel. He then endures to the end. You know, just raising children. We've just seen it over and over and over again that we get to raising children. The first few we're real strict on. First couple or so, and we're real strict. And then the next comes along, and we've got some help. The older children are helping. And by the time we get to the end, we just, it'll be all right. The others turned out all right. And we just lose sight of finishing the project that we started. We think it'll just all fall into place and take care of itself, but it won't. They may have the social structure that'll keep them in their place, but they don't learn a lot of those valuable lessons that they need to learn at the hand of their father or their mother. It's so easy for us, the little children, you know, we start out and we're just keeping our children right with us, and we're just making sure that we keep them in order. Well, after five or six or seven come along, the older ones get going out, well, the younger ones get going out a little younger and a little younger. And pretty soon, we've got little ones just running around all by themselves because we've just kind of gradually not endured to the end. We just kind of let it slip and they just fall through the cracks. Pretty soon we've got little gangs of children running around, little boys and little girls, three or four smaller, three or four of them, just little small ones running around just doing whatever they want to. That's not enduring to the end. If you kept your children right beside you whenever they were young, when you were first starting out, you ought to be doing the same thing with your little ones, keeping them right beside you. It was good. We just start off the race pretty swift. We start out the fight pretty strong. But we develop principles in our lives. Learn to follow through, all the way through. And that will build the principles in our lives so that we may endure to the end. It's important. You know, we hear about the martyrs sometimes. The Anabaptists tell the story about the one that was in the fire, and he said, if I'm faithful to the end, I'll raise my hand up. And the man was burning. And for a long time they thought he died. And then after a while here, this man that's just in being burned alive just raises his hands up to let his friends know that he endured to the end. Is it important to us? You know, these men that held out faithful, being tortured and being punished, being all kinds of horrible things done to them. And we hear of the story that, you know, after they suffered all this torture, they recanted. They gave up. And we're disappointed. It's a shame. The Lord knows. But we are excited. We're blessed by these stories of these people who held on and were faithful, endured to the very end. They survived. And you know, this idea that it doesn't matter once we're a Christian, that it just doesn't matter how we live. Well, then why was it important for all those martyrs? And we just look at them, and we read the stories about them, and we're just hoping for them to be faithful to the end. But they endured to the end. And we lift that up, and we think it's a wonderful thing, and it is a glorious thing. Jesus, on the cross, endured to the end. Stephen, whenever they were stoning him, lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He endured to the end. And we look at our lives. We just got all these unfinished projects, and we've got all these things that we're just halfway through. We start and we never finish. There's a story about the man that his son was in the big baseball game, and they'd made it all the way through the season, and they were at the championship, and they lost. And the boy was all beat out, and his dad, he said, "Why are you so sad, son?" He said, "Because we're losers." And he said, "No, you're not a loser. The only way you're a loser is if you would have quit. The only way you're a loser is if you didn't finish. You're not a loser. Now you have the opportunity to get right back in there and go on to the next project and learn from your mistakes and go on. It's not to the swift, the race. It's not to the strong, the race. It's not to the smart, the race. It's he that endures to the end that wins the race. If you let your children quit on a project, you're just instilling in them that it's all right to quit. It's all right to give up. If you let them start things, little projects around the house, they start and build a birdhouse maybe, or build a little something. It's out there in the garage, about half built. Maybe it got built but didn't get painted, just got set on a shelf. You're teaching them that it's all right to quit. You're teaching them that it's all right just to get through a project and give up on it. Well, it's not all right. Our race is not to the swift that can just really, "Oh man, that's a beautiful little birdhouse. Too bad it doesn't have a roof on it because didn't get around to finishing it. Too bad whatever you started was, oh man, he really just jumped right into there. And then didn't ever get finished." Well, you didn't win the race. You didn't finish the race. You quit. You gave up. Just some principles that it would do well for us to learn. We're looking to finish this race. We're looking to endure to the end. Not be a big flash in the pan that just burns out and goes away. The race is not to the swift nor the strong. You know, this wise man that talked about that the city was engulfed, it was entrenched. this great king. And then this wise man told them a plan, how to get out of it. And they survived. And guess what? They forgot that the wise man had told them how to get out of it. They saw the victory. Oh, it was great, but they forgot. You see, that's the kind that the Bible lifts up, that God lifts up. That wise man that didn't amount to nothing. Nobody paid attention to him. He whispers the solution. They all hear it, rejoice in it, run off and carry it out, and they're saved. And then the wise man's forgotten, wasn't recognized. But you know, that old wise man, I'll bet you he finished the projects he started. I bet you he took care of everything that he was supposed to. Even though he didn't get any credit for it. You know, we're so concerned a lot of times the Pharisees in Luke chapter 16 verse 14, it says, now the Pharisees who were lovers of money were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. This was religious men. This were people who were concerned about their appearance. Kind of opposite of the wise man that just told people how to get out of their problems. And then after he didn't get any credit for it, he went right on being faithful. We're so concerned about our reputations and our appearance before men, whenever that's not what's important at all. You know, we're so concerned about what others will say about if my children's out of order, or if one of my children fail, our pride of what people think about us gets us in trouble. We're trying to keep up that appearance instead of just being what we are. A wise man doesn't have to keep up an appearance. He just does what he's supposed to and is faithful in it, knowing that God will judge him and take care of those things and that he'll bring all things to light. But so many times we're so scared what other people think, that if our children would get out of line or do something, we just are so stressed out and so concerned about just keeping things in order that we can't even be what we really ought to be. And we begin to build this little wall around us, or this little mask that has the appearance. You know, I went to a church one time and I told them this. I said, you know, I come here and I see you all and it just looks like you've got a plastic face on. Just this painted on mask, smile. And I said, I'm just waiting for one of these days. You just lift up that mask and boom, here's what I really am. But everything was so polished and so... just too good to be true. It looked great. It looked like such a blessing. But I told them. I said, I'm afraid one of these days that somebody's just going to lift that mask up and I'm going to see what's really there. We did. And it wasn't very pretty. That's what Jesus was talking about. We justify ourselves in the sight of men, but God knows the heart. And it'd be just a lot better for us to just be what we are. Sometimes even a failure, sometimes even a little man in the middle of a city that nobody listens to, nobody cares about, Nobody's worried about his appearance. But he has the wisdom. And then after he gives it, he's forgotten about again. May the Lord add his blessings. Endure to the end, whatever our hands finds to do. Doing it halfway, doing it until we're partway finished, is not doing it with all our might. We might just go gun blazes for 3/4 of it or 90% of it, but if it's not finished, it isn't done with all our might. And that's the way our race will be. Learn to finish things. Teach your children to finish things. Anyway, may the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? You know, the best way to fix something is just to go fix it. You know, we've talked about people that owe someone something. And they may make a big donation, but they owe somebody else. Well, you're not giving your money. You're giving somebody else's money if you owe them. What good does it do to go start a whole bunch of other stuff if there's a lot of stuff that hadn't been finished? We don't owe anybody to take on a bunch of others. Be faithful in the little things.
This week we're supposed to bring a thought on wisdom based on Wisdom of Sirach 1:18. And I think wisdom is something we as Christians need to have to help us make proper decisions. And also, like it says in the verse, talking about wisdom, her branches are length of days. That, I think, long life and good, your life turning out good is a byproduct of having wisdom.
When I read the verse, the root of wisdom is to fear the Lord, and her branches are length of days. It made me think that sometimes we can think that if we listen to wisdom, we'll lose out on things of this world, but really those things, they seem kind of fun, but they'll end in destruction. Whereas it says the ways of wisdom are length of days, and it just makes everything work out better, even though you have to go through challenges.
Most people my age think they know everything and are always looking for a chance to pitch in their 2 cents, but I don't want to be like that. I think it's better to just listen to your elders and get as much wisdom as you can from them and to fear the Lord.
The verse says, the root of wisdom is fear of the Lord, and her branches the length of days. And I was thinking kind of along the lines of what Jaden said, how a lot of us young people, we fear the Lord, but we don't have length of days. We don't have a lot of experience, and so I think it's real good wisdom. Being wise for us is taking as much advice from our elders and our brothers and sisters that have lived a lot longer than we have.
I got another verse here, and that kind of goes along with it. Wisdom of the Sirach 1, verse 7. The Lord himself created wisdom, and he saw and numbered her, and poured her out on all his works in the midst of all flesh according to his gift. And he provided her for those who love him. And like it says in the other verse, the root of wisdom is to fear the Lord. And so if you fear the Lord and love him, and you'll have wisdom. I think wisdom is to fear the Lord and just go at God's speed and not run ahead. Then verse 16, it says, the fear of the Lord is the crown of wisdom.
To fear the Lord is the root of wisdom, and her branches are long life. Sirach 1:20.
I like where it says, the roots of wisdom is to fear the Lord. And it shows that if we fear the Lord, He gives us wisdom along with it. And then the next part of that, it comes, like some of the others said, just asking from elders and learning.
Morning, everybody. I've been thinking a lot this month about thankfulness, and I think a lot of times we tend to take too much for granted for where we are. And like, say if any of us needed money or any kind of project help or any kind of encouragement, we always have someone there. And I was just wondering how different it would be if we didn't have that, and most people would only dream of having the kind of support that us as a church has. And let's always be thankful for what we have and never consider to have earned it. And I have a couple of verses here in Luke 12, starting in 47. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging, he will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will also ask the more. And God has given us much, and let's not squander it. I was thinking while the boys were giving their lesson about how it seems like the more people get, the more blessings people get, the more arrogant they turn out to be. And that's just not good. And that's all I had. Any prayer requests? Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day you gave us, this fall weather, and thank you for the fellowship and the blessings you give us, and let us never take that for granted. And also help Brother David as he preaches, and let us hear what you want us to hear from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the boys' lesson for next week, just bring a verse about being thankful. And tell us something that you are thankful for other than your parents.